thank you for letting me preach here. I'm so excited, and I know Pastor Brooks isn't here, but I just want to thank him. And Tammy, thank you on behalf of that. On behalf of Pastor Brooks, thank you for letting me preach. Okay, I wanted to do something before I begin, and I know my mom and dad are probably not going to be happy about it, but if you'll just wave your hands. All right, I want to embarrass them a little bit. Yeah. They are the most amazing parents I could ever ask for. Thank you for representing Jesus well. And I wouldn't be here today if it weren't for you. I wouldn't be here today, obviously. but really, thank you. Thank you for teaching me, Dad. Thank you for teaching me how to be a godly man. And Mom, thank you for showing me what it is. For showing me what it is to be a woman of God. I'm not a woman of God, but I'm looking for one. So yes. All right. Jesus is good. Before I begin, I felt like God gave me this word to share over this house and this church. I feel like He's just speaking faithfulness. This church has been a faithful church in this community. And in your own communities, you've been a faithful church. And the word faith, we can interchange it with the word relationship. So really what God's saying is you haven't lost your relationship. You haven't lost your first love, which is me. So thank you. Thank you for just keeping your relationship strong. Before I begin, let's just pray. Jesus, thank you. I know you are here. Because you're living inside of me, and you are here. Holy Spirit, fill me with your presence. Come upon me right now to preach this word to hearts. God, I pray that this would open hearts, and this would stir people, that they would not be able to walk away the same today. Holy Spirit, I yield myself to you. Amen. Open up your Bibles to Mark 8. We're going to start in verse 34 and then go to 36. This is Jesus talking. He says, "Then he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, 'If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.'" Next verse. "For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it." Jump back a verse. Go back to 35 for a second. "Whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it." What does that mean? What Jesus is saying here is if you try and hold on to your life, your selfish desires, and you try and build your own kingdom, you're gonna fall away and you're never gonna know me. But what he's saying is if you give up everything, you have me and you find your life. Jesus is your life. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. No man comes to the Father except through him. So for whoever loses their life will find it. I think it's funny, the life that you're laying down is something you were never actually meant to be in the first place. God didn't make you to live in sin. So when he's saying give up your life, it's give up your life of sin. Sin literally means separation. So what God's saying is I want relationship with you. Lay down your selfish desires and come to me. Let's take a look at Matthew 13. Jesus is talking in a parable. It says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field." Jump back. Thank you. and then in his joy went and sold all that he had. It is a joy to sell everything for Jesus. So this verse is talking about the kingdom of heaven, which is our relationship. We gain eternal life through Jesus. It's saying, if you want to gain this, you have to give up everything. Yeah, go to the next verse for a second. Thank you. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. Now, usually people will look at this verse and say, oh, it's just like the other, and we're looking for this treasure, and we find it, and we give up everything, right? But no, what Jesus is saying here, can you throw that first verse back up for a second? Yes, thank you. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant. The kingdom of heaven is the merchant, not the pearl. So what's happening here is Jesus is the merchant, and he's looking for a fine pearl. You are a fine pearl. You are a great pearl with great value. Go to the next verse, 46. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything. He sold everything he had and bought it. So now that we know what we are, and what we have to give up, what does this mean? Where do we go from here? So I've given up my life to Jesus, so do I just stay empty? What does he fill me with? I used my phone in first service as an analogy. So I have this phone. It's about like a year and a half old, and it's not a very good phone. The back pops off, and it's a pain. But it's not a smartphone. I said in first service, it's a dumb phone. But this is probably worth maybe $5-$10. Maybe. But let's say some guy comes up to me on the street and says, "Wow, I really like that phone. Can I have that phone?" I'll be like, "Well, how much would you like for it?" But let's say he offers me $1,000. I'd be like, "Can you adopt me?" No. But really, this isn't worth $1,000 to me, but to him, it's worth $1,000. So what is this phone worth? Is it worth 10 or is it worth 1,000? 1,000 or 10? 1,000? Hearing mixed answers. It's worth 1,000 because it's what someone is willing to pay for it. And if the price of something is determined by, its value is determined by what someone is willing to pay for it, and Jesus went to the cross and he died for you, he took your sin, he became sin for you, that's your worth. That's your identity. Your identity is in him. Come on. You are not worthless. This world would have you believe that you have to do things, that guys, you have to get big muscles and lift weights, which is awesome. I did P90X for like a season, and it didn't work out so well, as you can see. But I did P60X, but I almost made it through. But really, like we have this image of like this guy has to be this strong guy, and girls, you have to be like super skinny or you're not beautiful. And this world creates this image of what beauty is, but beauty was already defined at the cross with sacrificial love. Jesus loved you so much that he died. Come on, guys, this is the gospel. This is what we were created for. This is who you are. This is, as Christians, this is what defines us. Galatians 4:4-7. But when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. You are sons and daughters of the living God if you accept him today. If he is your Lord, you are a son. You are a daughter. You are his dearly loved child. Because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave. You are no longer a slave, but a son. And since you are a son, God has also made you an heir. You co-heir with Christ. That's your identity. This world would have you believe otherwise, but you're not of this world, are you? If you're in Christ, that's your identity. Romans 8. Therefore, there is now, okay, I want you to catch this, no condemnation. No condemnation. No condemnation to those who are in Christ. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature but according to the Spirit. Are you living according to the Spirit this morning? It's your identity. If you're in Christ, it's your identity. You do not have to wrestle with your flesh. Put it to death. Put it to death. We bear the name of the Father and we represent him. We represent him. Who do you represent? Are you representing Jesus? Or are you representing your old life? I promise, if you give everything to him, it's the best decision you will ever make. I promise. If you can't hear the passion in my heart, I don't know what will convince you that Jesus is the only way and he makes me whole. He paid for my sin. I was a wretch and he made me a son. I was caught up in lust. I was caught up in, the only thing I could think about was what other people thought of me. And I performed out of that. And I was a good kid. But I was in performance mode. But you realize Jesus set me free from all of that. Now I don't, I say this in love, but I do not care what you think of me. Todd White says, I'm free from me so I can be free from you. It's good. I think there's a lot of Christians. You've accepted him as Lord, and yes, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, but are you living in true sonship, or are you walking condemned? You don't have to live that life anymore. You don't have to live depressed. That's not the life of a Christian. I understand things happen, but you realize Jesus is the answer for everything. For your body, for your soul, for your spirit, he paid for all of it. Jesus, your identity is in Christ. Yeah. We need to set our minds, set our hearts on him today. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world, a lot of craziness. It's not even worth talking about, but Jesus is what I'm going to set my heart on and set my mind on. Go to Colossians 3, verse 1. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above. You realize that every thought that goes through your head is not yours. The devil would love for you to believe that everything that goes on up there is you, but that's not the truth. Take every thought captive. Yeah. I shared this in first service. Sometimes when the devil's trying to attack me or bring up my past, I'm like, wait, that's not Jesus. He doesn't bring up my past wrongs. So I'll just thank you, Jesus, for paying for me. Thank you for setting me free from myself so I can be free in you and alive in you and hidden in you. So set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Come on. Your life is hidden in Christ. You no longer live in your flesh if you're in him. You have the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16, you have the mind of Christ. So are your thoughts Christ's thoughts, or are they your thoughts? Because in the kingdom, if you're having your thoughts, that doesn't work. We are called to have his thoughts. I don't see myself the way the world sees me, or even my old self used to see me. I see myself the way Christ sees me. He sees a son. He sees someone who is commissioned to go preach the gospel and heal the sick and raise the dead and cleanse the leper and cast out demons. Galatians 5:24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We don't even have to have our passions and desires be terrible anymore. We can crucify those. Those should be dead at the cross. Since we live by the Spirit, this is good. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Bill Johnson describes the Holy Spirit like, imagine like a dove. I mean, we always describe the Holy Spirit like a dove. But in this analogy, imagine a dove sitting on my shoulder. I'm not going to make any, like, quick movements, am I? Or it's going to be out of here. And that's not to say that the Holy Spirit is someone like, if you do something wrong, he's going to leave you. The analogy is just that, are you aware of his presence, and are you taking one slow step at a time? You're aware that he is there and you don't make a move without him. Are you aware of his presence? And do you know who you are? Now that we know that we're his children and we know that we're hidden in Christ, what are we here for? If when you got saved, if Jesus didn't need you here, you'd be with him right now in heaven. He has a purpose and he has a plan for each and every one of your lives. I feel like some of you right now are thinking, well, I understand that's great for you. You feel like you're called into missions and you want to travel the world and, oh, that's just great. But no, that's not me. But here's the thing. I can't reach the people at your work. I'd probably get escorted out. Wouldn't be a good picture. But I can't go into your schools. But you can. You have spheres of influence that I can never be a part of. Who are you representing? Are you representing you? Or are you representing Christ? We're called to go, guys, and preach the gospel. Mark 16, this is Jesus. He says, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. For whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it won't hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. You realize that God wants to heal. God wants to heal, and it is his will. It is his will. He paid for you. The same thing he did to sin, he did to sickness and disease. He paid for it. That's why I'm so passionate about it. It's not because I want to shove this down your throat. No, it's because Jesus paid for it and he deserves it. And I'm in love with him and I'm going to give him everything, everything. I will give up my life. I would give up my life for him because he gave up his life for me. Would you give up your life for him? He died for you. He died for you. I don't think we get that sometimes. We say it a lot. He died. He literally took all of your sin and he became sin. He became sin so you can become a son. So you could become a daughter. John 5:19. So Jesus explained, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. Jesus didn't make a move without the Father. His eyes were fixed on the Father. And he kept in step with the Father. The Father's will for you is not to harm you. He loves you. He loves you. The thief came to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Jesus said that. John 10:10. Luke 9:2 says, then he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Jesus paid for it, and he wants to see you whole. He wants to see you whole. When Pastor Brooks asked me to preach this morning, a couple months back, it was a Wednesday night, and we were actually doing a youth group in here we were meeting, and I was leading the worship, and we had pre-service prayer, and I know some of the youth have already heard this, so bear with me, but God gave me this vision in pre-service prayer, and I believe I'm supposed to share it with you today, and the vision was, I saw a picture of a pool. It was a really big pool. You can call it Olympic-sized pool if you like. Whatever. So we got this big pool, and inside the pool, I saw every person that I know that does not know Jesus. I saw every family member, every friend who does not know Jesus. And I watched. I stood on the side. And I just watched. I watched them. They were drowning. They were gasping for air. I could see them coming up and they would choke. They were choking on the water. And I was like, God, why are you showing me this? And then I saw Jesus. And he came to me and he gave me this life preserver. And he said, this is my body. It was broken for you. I paid for them. I was like, okay, so what do you want me to do with this? And he looked at me and he said, I've done everything I needed to do. And this can save their lives. But if you don't throw it out to them, they will never be saved. Guys, we have to preach the gospel. People need
his love. They need his compassion. They need him. Who are you representing? If you realize who you are in Christ, if you realize that you're a son, you won't care about going to a grocery store and seeing someone with a broken leg and saying, hey, can I pray for you? That used to mess with my mind. It used to be like, okay, I'll try it and then I'll maybe have a good story. But now I don't think like that anymore. My mind's renewed. I see that and I'm like, no, Jesus paid for that. And I just go up to them and I ask, can I pray for you? What if we didn't care what the world thought about us? What if you didn't care to the point of people in your own lives, your own family members are like, I don't even know you anymore. You're like really crazy and into this whole Jesus thing. I'm like, all right. But really, guys, we're the light of the world. Throw that verse up there, Matthew 5. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone. Everyone. Jesus paid for everyone. It gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Do people look at your life and say, wow, that guy is different. And I just, there's something, I don't know what it is, but it draws me to him. It's attractive. I can't get away from it because they see Jesus. You see, every person, I think we think, well, I don't know if they even want Jesus. Listen, they were created for him. They want Jesus whether they know it or not. Pastor Matt, would you come? I just want to... I want to make this available. If anyone is, if you're saying, I've never accepted Jesus, but you're making him look really good, and I want him, I'm just going to ask you right now. I know it's a bold step. Usually we bow our heads, but I'm feeling like we're a family here, and there's no shame, there's no condemnation. The greatest thing you could ever do is give your life to him. If you want to give your life to him for the first time, or maybe you've given it to him before, but you've lost your way, if you want his spirit to live inside of you again, if you want this life, I just want you to stand right now where you're at. Just stand right now. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Let's just all say this corporately together. Say, Jesus, I love you. You are my Lord. I give you my heart. The reason I'm pausing is just because sometimes I don't know what to do, and I'm asking Jesus what he wants me to do right now, so just bear with me. This is how I'd like to end the service. I'm going to pray, and if you need to go, feel free to go, but if you need prayer for anything, I just ask that anyone who feels like they just want to see the pray for the sick or anything, just come up here right now so we can so maybe just our pastors and their wives just line up at the front, and then we're gonna pray for people. But yeah, let's just seek his face. So I'm gonna close this out. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for stirring hearts. You are stirring hearts this morning. Holy Spirit, stir every heart in this room. Stir every heart. thank you for what you did on the cross and for the new life that you give. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Bless this church. Bless these people. Jesus, thank you. Thank you, guys. You're dismissed. If you need prayer for anything,